Another podcast recording, another time of hoping and praying they do not come out of their room and start yelling very loudly at us.
Another podcast recording time, another failed bedtime.
Exactly. Down to bed around 7:30, and now what is it? Almost 8:45.
They did have a long nap today, but I let them go for it because they had such a short nap yesterday after playing in the snow for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I failed us all.
Oh, no. You're fine. You're fine. It's fine. It's all good. We're all going to die anyway, so,
oh my goodness.
You know, what's the matter? I'm sorry. That's really, that's very of a, and sort of an unchristian thing to say, isn't it?
I mean.
Hey, I'm Derek.
And I'm Tanya.
We've got three kids, Rainey.
Yeah.
Emerson.
Uh-oh.
And Atlas. We're set to learn about marriage, parenting, and whatever else comes up as we stumble through the joys and sorrows of life.
This is the journey of two young, homeschooled Christian parents exploring what we're teaching and learning while we grow ourselves and raise our kids.
Anyway, so this podcast, we're going to be talking about, you know, stuff we've learned, going to be talking about New Year's resolutions and...
Oh, that's right.
And things about that, as well as, we forgot to talk about this the last podcast, but I'm going to we watched the next Twilight movie, New Moon, and I'm going to give my thoughts on it, for I have many, or at least a few, you know, whatever. Well, we'll get there.
Yay. That was like major episode spoiler alert.
Yeah, but I want to give the people a taste of what's to come, you know.
Okay.
To hang around, because we're probably gonna do the movie stuff after the credits. So hang around after.
But Derek, why? What if in true Pooh Bear style, they don't want to eat it; they just want to taste it.
Mm.
You just gave them the taste.
That's a good point. Well, I mean, we want to give the people what they want. So I mean, as long as they're listening to something here, I mean,
taste meal, we're here for you.
That's right. That's right. We serve all options. Anything you want to talk about with life before we jump into what we've learned?
Well, the one episode that I'm actually expecting you to greet me with some dear sweet...
Oh, that's right.
And you never did.
I'm so sorry. Oh, man.
My heart is so sad.
I feel so bad about that.
And of all the weeks, because I learned something very interesting this week that pertains to that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you wanna let me know, you petite, powerful musk ox?
It's too late.
Oh, dang it.
But anyways, Martin Luther actually called his wife Catherine, Kitty My Rib, in endearment.
Aw.
And it's just perfectly strange and also theological and wonderful. And when I heard it, I was like, oh, that's kind of like us.
Aww.
So,
Kitty My Rib?
Yeah. Interesting. His wife, Catherine.
Yeah.
Kitty My Rib.
No, that's cool.
I know. I thought that was very sweet. Anyways, so you are a little Martin Luther-esque in your oddities. Let's
I'm actually, see. What I'm going for with those compliments is like aping Leslie Knope style of...
Yeah, I know.
But... Yeah.
Martin Luther is cooler than Leslie Knope, though. Anyways, today, I didn't tell you this yet, but today Rainey found the journals that I write, that I wrote to the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I was told these did not need windscreens, but clearly I was wrong. We're trying out new mics that I got for Christmas.
Okay, so I did totally notice that it's a different sound. I feel like I sound more nasally in these.
I don't know.
Like, I feel like I need to, I don't know. I don't feel like I sound like myself.
I think you sound like you, and you sound great.
Okay. Anyway, see, there's like a weird trill. Like, Okay. Anyway.
You're adorable.
Today, Rainey found the kids' journals and she fell in love with hers. She basically made me read everything that I wrote to her in it, which is very sweet. And she especially enjoyed the funny things that I had written down about her, of course. Mm-hmm. So she like got really hooked on like the whole boogie wall post where I like discovered that she had an entire wall dedicated to leaving her boogies when she didn't want to get a tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
she kept reading it to me after she knew the story. She kept reading it over and over and then laughing uproariously afterwards, as only a 4-year-old can do. And I said, you know what? That was funny the first time, but not the 4th and 5th time. And she's like, no, it's funny every time. And then she continued to read it. So that was pretty great.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, I have some things that I've learned in life recently, but it's clearly not as important as you talking about new moon. So why don't you just
We can't just jump right in. We gotta leave the people with the... We gotta fulfill the purpose of the show first. We gotta be consistent. We have standards to uphold. Dang
it. Well, I mean, I already talked about some things I learned, like Martin Luther King.
You gotta follow. You gotta follow the pattern of the show. Like, we can't just. This isn't anarchy.
Well, I could talk about the things that I'm learning about. Pacifism versus non-resistance.
Oh, yeah,
but I feel like I need to know a lot more before I even start talking about that.
Well, let's
especially because I know some people who listen to the show
mm-hmm.
are pretty opinionated about it, which is perfectly fine.
I think it would be fun to kind of talk about how we're thinking at the moment, what brought us to the topic, and then. Sort of, and then like follow up in later weeks as we kind of learn more. And people can give feedback on Instagram at Set to Learn or something if they
have. Yeah, but I feel like I'm like just balanced on, like the idea isn't even formed yet. Like I'm balanced on the tip of the ice cream cone butt, not a, yeah.
Let me ask you about it then. And you can kind of like tell me your innermost thoughts and feelings. You recently told me that, Derek, I think I'm pacifist or something like that. And I think did you ask me if I was pacifist?
No, I didn't, because then you said, well, I think I am too.
Yeah.
And then I was deeply alarmed by that. But then again, pacifist is different than non-resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm wondering if I'm non-resistant, just from listening. Oh goodness!
So I don't feel
like I would like kill an intruder that entered my house.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like maybe I would probably protect my children if it came down to like a moment. Not saying that I would kill a person though.
Mm-hmm.
If that person was trying to kill me, I don't know. And then Ibly Jiblies, and then. The listening to psychology lectures that talk about how, you know, a peaceful protest has accomplished more historically than like war, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I know some of you are listening and thinking, well, by golly, that is not true. War has accomplished a lot. And then it's like, well, if there wasn't a need for fighting, but then the earth would be perfect. But then Luke 22, Jesus tells the disciples to take a sword, but that could be out of context in the passage, and perhaps it is, you know, we could not resist people if they entered our home, but also leaving all of the people who need your support in other nations, you should not put your personal martyrdom upon them. And there's
all right,
a lot
all
of...
All right. So this kind of all started with, like, the Trump administration had an Iranian general assassinated. And then, of course, now everybody's tweeting about World War III and Iran's being like, we are going death to America. And by America, we mean like the...
But hasn't Iran been like fighting us? I mean, doing things
Iran's
like that
been
for a while and saying stuff like that.
There's
anyways.
A whole like proxy war thing that they've been doing for like decades. Like, pretty sure that it's super complicated and I am not educated enough to speak on it, aside from the fact that it is super complicated.
The conversation kind of feels like a playground conversation where Trump's like, hey, I'm gonna hit you. And
yeah.
Ariane is like, I'm gonna hit you.
Well, it's one of these
but really,
things.
I'm gonna hit you this time. Did you wear those pants today with a hole in them in 21 degree weather?
Yeah.
Sheesh, bagheesh.
I am but a poor pauper. I do not have the money for more clothes. Anyway.
You're full of it. You chose not to wear your undergarments and your under things.
That's true. I was completely pantsless today. And no.
People are going to be so confused about this conversation. You should have worn male leg warmers. What are those things? Long johns.
Long johns? Yes. Male leg warmers.
Male leggings, actually.
Male leggings. This is not... Anyway.
They are. No. What is okay, it about good. This week? I bought Derek fancy man sweatpants, but I called them man leggings. And he was just deeply offended by it.
They're not leggings, though. They don't like hug tight to my to my thighs and calves and such.
They hug tight enough, man. They hug tight enough.
Anyway. So the whole thing of the Trump administration suddenly just assassinating someone in a very volatile country that does not like us very much, it's very scary because, you know, with Trump's history of being generally unhinged and deciding to just lash out when he's upset about something is very concerning when he holds the power of the nuclear weaponry. And so everybody's like going into, going into World War III, blah, blah, blah. And since then, everybody has like said, hey, we want to establish peace again. And so we're probably not going to start doing war officially. But anyway, we'll see. But anyway, this
has been Politics with Derek and Tanya. Kids, if you're listening several years later, I hope we're better at this than we are now.
So this sparked the conversation about pacifism. And so that's kind of where this is all coming from. Now, Tanya, what is the difference between pacifism and what was the other term you used?
Non-resistance. I understand that pacifism means that you're not into personally going to war, and non-resistant means if somebody comes into your house, you won't resist them.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I think I've actually been at pacifism for a long time now. I didn't really bring it up because it didn't seem relevant until, you know, World War III was about to start and you asked about it. But yeah, I might be close to non-resistant too. Just because there's been a lot of good... At some point, like the Bible Project podcast did a good series on... Man, I forget now. But like, I just got a really clear sense of the contrast between of how Jesus came not as someone who is a conqueror, but someone who is actively opposing that style of liberation and instead choosing grace and peace and nonviolence, and seeing that as is such a polar opposite of what people are expecting, and clearly it was intentionally so. Like, this is how we build the kingdom of God, not through war, but through peace and grace. So that's kind of been my thoughts behind it. I do not know what I would do if someone came into my house. I think I would still grab the baseball bat, but you know, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. So further, these will be further developed by you in the future, and we will expect updates. Many updates.
If you have thoughts, send them to us.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you do.
Oh, that would be great. I would love to hear more on this. But yeah.
And then, of course, I was reading Mean Molly, the American Girl book, to Rainey about World War II, and then I had more thoughts. So
Murray has been learning recently so much conversational stuff.
So much.
So much. Like, it just blossomed in the last couple of weeks. So for instance, like, Rainey at bedtime, will, one of the things she'll say is like, "Hey, Murray, do you want to build a snowman?" And Murray's like, "No, not build a snowman. Monster." Meaning he wants to play monster. So run around and get each other.
All, or imaginative play.
Yes. Or like, another thing he started doing recently, he's like, "All right, let's do it."
Which is my favorite.
That's my favorite. It's so cute.
Especially in the morning, because he, like, I'll be laying in bed, and of course he's figured out how to open the door recently too. So these two little eyes peer right above the line of the bed. And he's like, "Hi, Mama." I try to, like, act asleep, but eventually he gets it. "Hi, Mama. Downstairs?" "No, we should rest some more." "Oh, no. Downstairs." "Oh, you want to cuddle a little bit? Cuddle?" "Ah, downstairs." Sometimes I can convince him to cuddle for a little bit, but then once I get it, he's like, "Mm-hmm. All right, let's do it." It's like, I didn't say anything. It's like, the day is starting, you know? He's also been saying, like it, a lot. Like, when he really appreciates something. And today, Rainey was watching a little bit of VeggieTales Silly Song. "Don't like it. Don't like it, Mama." Okay. It is interesting, though, because Rainey was further along vocabulary-wise by this point. I'm just, like, realizing that, but I think a lot of it is a boy-girl thing, and then Rainey was way advanced in vocabulary, and Murray was way more advanced physically. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's just interesting seeing their little personalities.
Bloom. Yeah. Yeah. One thing that was fun to learn was that stuff at the bottom of our new oven will bake and smoke like the Dickens.
Yeah. We now have an oven that has a clock on it. Never had that before. It's also a glass top, which I've never had before. My previous stove was very old, and mice could climb into the top of it or the back of it and roam around.
Just hypothetically.
Underneath
enough.
The burners and poop.
I mean, if they wanted to. It's not like we had any experience with that, but
trust me, my house is very clean. Even if I had to clean out under the burners every single freaking day.
Oh, my word. Very glad the mice are gone now.
And there's not even, like, an element on the bottom of my oven. So, like, my previous oven had an element that I couldn't move to clean around, which drove me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
My new one doesn't even have an element on the bottom, so I can, like, just wipe it down.
Yeah.
It's so magical.
Of course, the thing about it not having an element at the bottom means that the entire bottom of the oven gets hot.
And the entire bottom of the other oven got hot too.
Yeah, but it didn't like when cheese fell down from a pizza baking, for instance, like, it didn't smoke in there like that.
Yeah, I think
it, like,
that
filled the
part
entire
of it,
house with smoke.
Yeah, I think part of it was the pizza also was burning and we didn't realize that.
Yeah, there's that too.
Because this oven actually heats well.
Yeah, a little
bit
of
an adjustment.
A little bit of a learning curve.
And now that I have a glass top, I also need to watch things that they don't boil over. I just assume part of the process of, you know, creating rice is, you know,
the boiling over part.
Yeah, the boiling over part. And it's not my fault, because rice is like tepid water, tepid water, tepid water, hot boiling. Like, you got to watch that sucker.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I don't want to scrub down my glass top again tonight because I accidentally boiled over water.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of feelings.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not going to leave marks on a glass top. Like, things need to look clean at the end of the day.
That's true. I get that. I get that.
You sound like a crotchety old housewife. I don't make my kids make their beds yet, so there's that.
No, you've still got some hope. Do you have anything else for...
Oh, just that, I mean, we just shared our story in Sunday school this last week.
Oh, and yeah, that's right.
It's interesting going back on kind of your life story and getting to see the different threads of God working through different portions. And it's also funny to go back to your life story and realize that you're not over some things yet, or some things are still painful in your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a thing there's a group in our church that is doing, like, rotating people through telling their stories in front of the class, like, what's your life up to this point? What has been significant to you, et cetera, which has been really interesting. So we got to do that this past Sunday for ourselves. And yeah, that's what...
I know it was really lovely and beautiful worshiping after we shared our stories.
Like, yeah.
I don't know, just good resolution in my heart.
Sort of the coming down off the adrenaline and...
Also, I'm learning that no matter what you learn in parenting or just life in general, it's never like a once and done learned thing. You have to like relearn it over and over. And this is why I will be perpetually reading the same books, because I like learn one parenting thing and then it's like, oh yeah, like, duh.
Mm-hmm. Something that I've been learning but I need to remember is that children, especially at Murray's age, require gentle and constant redirection, mm-hmm. not harsh correction after failure to follow instructions, because that's just going to frustrate them more and make them go back to the same thing. And
also, we just need to start offering that child a snack when he like seems to be melting down but not tired, because I honestly think that that's a thing half the time for him.
Yeah.
He becomes so pleasant after a snack if he's like, I just don't think he knows how to communicate when he's hungry sometimes.
Or he does sometimes, but yeah. Hungry. Yeah. That's a good thought. What else? Rainey learned what the word hesitated means. She asked me one day, just out of the blue, like, Daddy, what does hesitated mean? I'm like, hesitated? I said, yeah, Olaf said it in Frozen. I'm like, where did he say that in Frozen? It was like, but it was like the something about, oh, you hesitated, like after he.
Oh, yeah. I know what part of that is.
So she got to learn what hesitated means from that. So
she also tried to learn what et cetera means.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't quite grasp that.
I heard that conversation in the background. What happened?
Oh, I tried to explain it means, and like it's kind of like and so on and so forth, or like more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, it's like if I said at the art store they're selling paint and they're selling stickers and they're selling glue, etc. Mm-hmm. And she's like, so I could say, and I would like that, please, etc. You know, she's very fascinated by the art supplies and totally lost the frame of what was happening.
Yeah.
Well, no.
What is this, et cetera? I've never had et cetera before.
I don't know what this et cetera is, but I know that I want it. She has really grasped onto a lot of words recently and mm-hmm. phrases. And finally, she's saying Your Highness instead of My Highness.
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
She used to like bow down to us and be like, My Highness. Like, well, no.
Oh, that was so great.
She's still saying bang it when she's frustrated too. She started saying boom it too.
Yeah, I now don't she's saying boom it. She's like getting ahead of the next trend. Like, it was okay boomers, now it's just boom it.
I think she figures if like you could say bang it, then you can say boom it.
Oh, I guess that does make sense in a certain form of logic. I love it. I love it all. Anything else before we move on to the next thing?
Okay,
so I wanted to talk about New Year's resolutions or general thoughts about New Year and what are our directions and things in the New Year. And so I wanted to hear from you how you approach a new year, because I don't know if we've like formally talked about it. We talked about it a little bit before the podcast, just kind of get a sense of kind of what your direction is. But
yeah. Generally, I try to come up with a word to focus on throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Or kind of like a theme, a word that has been coming up frequently for me. So last year was grace.
Mm-hmm.
So I focused on grace a lot. And I needed a lot of grace this last year.
Mm-hmm.
The year previous, I had the time to sit down and write out personal goals. But I generally like goal set throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Or like I'm looking for areas of growth. So, and again, it's kind of different from a resolution.
Yeah.
So
what's your word for this year?
I don't think I've really come up with one yet.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm trying to not beat myself up over the fact that I was really working towards goals a year ago. Well, 2 years ago, like I was making great progress in those different goals. And mm-hmm. then I got really sick with pregnancy and things just kind of, if you get what I mean.
I do. Yep.
I mean, not that. I haven't been growing on a lot of stuff, and I've definitely made up for emotional and spiritual growth in the other categories that I, you know, but I was like I had different goals for myself creatively and such that, you know,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay.
Hmm.
So I don't have a word for this year yet.
Okay. All right. I thought maybe you did, but, that's cool. How did you stumble onto like the sort of the theme word method? Like, is that just kind of something you
I don't picked think up that from somewhere? I saw or it just... anywhere. I don't know.
Because
I can tell you that it was probably teenage Tanya.
Oh, yeah.
Deeply poetical.
Yep.
You know, who sat by a fire leading up to midnight and prayed and wrote a poem and was like, this is my word for the year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great idea. This is something that I have also like been into now, mostly because of a podcast that I listen to called Cortex, where they talk a lot about productivity and like just how to... They're both self-employed, so they're like really into talking about methods of how they frame stuff in their minds and do work and all that stuff. And they've been doing the yearly theme, like yearly word theme, for several years. So I kind of started picking up on it too. I think my opinion on New Year's resolutions is that they're trash, because. Most of the time resolutions are about making a commitment to something that you're not really prepared to achieve, but you're trying to force yourself into. Be like, I will lose 5 pounds this year, or more, but that's pretty low, but like 20 pounds this year or else.
Yeah.
Or else.
It's January and my socials are filled with people who are complaining about being on Whole30. Like, well, we're like 2 weeks into January. You made this life choice. You can just not. So many people complaining about Whole30.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
Well, and then people are also like waiting until the new year to start doing their thing instead of like planning or starting, you know, before the new year rolls around. Like,
yeah.
The whole year.
But arbitrary to play thing. Devil's advocate, I feel like you are scared to set any sort of goals because it feels wishy-washy to you, specifically in the new year's.
Well,
like. Because before you were like, yeah, people make these goals that they don't plan on following through on. And I was like, well, like you can plan on following through them. And
but I know myself too well. Like setting a goal to complete, like that just is never works for me. Like, I will not complete it just by setting a goal.
Well, you can plan to sit here complacent, or you can plan to be not complacent for 2 weeks and shoot towards something awesome and kind of go partway there, like...
Partway there and then feel, and then stop and then feel really bad the whole rest of the year about
not completing. Well, no, you can decide to not feel bad about it.
Yeah, but life happens, life changes. Like, and life is unexpected. Sometimes things happen, especially with kids. Like, there are only sometimes things happen that you can't do a thing, or that life just suddenly gets more complicated.
Agreed. But we can't live in a state of perfectionism where we can't learn how to fail.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, New Year's resolutions tend to be a bad method of bettering yourself.
Yes. So goal set.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but so the...
Throughout the year. Grow.
Yeah. But what I really like about doing like a yearly theme is that it basically, when you're making decisions about, you know, something that you would like to do, you can use that theme as like sort of your North Star, so to speak, like your guiding light. Like, so for instance, like last year, my theme was just survive, and just survive. Like, give myself permission to not do more than I must. Just make sure, you know, my family stays alive and I take care of my wife and things like that. Just survive, which was really great. It sort of gave me that permission to not be, you know, go above and beyond. This year my theme is just generically grow, get myself back in that, mentality of, okay, I am not only just living life, but I am improving in life as I go. So I'm going to be making decisions to grow when I can. So that's partly where, you know, getting back into figuring out, you know, what ADHD means for me and figuring out how to, you know, overcome, find where these symptoms are breaking me down a little bit and, you know, minimizing that as much as possible, doing research into infant baptism a little bit, which we'll talk about later once I read some more stuff. And yeah, just going to try to, that's my goal. In contrast with last year's survive, just grow. So here we go.
Woo woo. And speaking of growth,
yeah,
what did you think of New Moon?
We got to roll the credits first. So we're gonna roll the credits and then we'll come back and do New Moon. So yeah, thanks for podcasting. I love you and stuff.
Love you too. What does a muskox say?
I don't know. But that works.
Like that. That's what I imagine.
Thanks for listening. If you want to follow or talk to us, you can do that on Instagram at settolearn or leave us a voice message at talk.settolearn.com. But until next time, keep learning. All right, so New Moon. I was supposed to talk about this last time. The last time I watched this was like a month and a half or 2 months ago. So I say the last time. The only time I've watched this was like a month and a half, 2 months ago. And this is good, just going to be a thing now. From now on, we're gonna watch through the rest of the Twilight movies and I'm going to give my thoughts on it. And it'll be fun. And we own all the movies now.
Oh boy!
Because there was
who bought them? Who made that life choice?
It was me, because it was like $20 for all 5 movies on iTunes, and so I figured it'd be fiscally irresponsible not to. So now we have all the movies and I have no excuse. General thoughts about this one. This entire movie felt like it served as a way to create conflict, set up conflict for the rest of the movies, more or less. Like, oh, they're opening up the world, creating all these problems, creating a love triangle, making things awkward and weird between certain people, and just making everything very uncomfortable so that you come back and watch Eclipse, where I feel like people are going to just start throwing down and things are going to start happening. However, I didn't believe most of the way that they created conflict in this movie. It just didn't work for me. I was fairly impressed by the first movie. I was not very impressed by the second movie, but I understood what they were trying to do and why they had to do it. So anyway, Edward very early on in the movie decides that he needs to leave Bella just arbitrarily because he will put Bella in danger by sticking around. Why would he put her in danger again?
Because of that whole birthday party thing where she like accidentally smashes through a glass table and then somebody almost eats her.
That's right. The newest vampire almost goes bloodlusty on her.
Did you put like a spoiler warning before this? Because I know these people all deeply care about the outcome of these shows.
Yeah, I don't care.
They haven't seen movies.
Spoiler alert. Okay, so yeah, and so then he just up and decides, okay, I can't be around you. I'm gonna have to leave because
I'm pretty
sure
that the books don't feel so abrupt, but you know, when you have to fit a lot into a movie, it feels very abrupt and very moody and very teenager.
Yeah, and so he just like, you don't have an option. I'm going to leave you.
I don't want to be on record saying teenager because teenagers are smart too.
But so Edward just loves her too much that he must leave her. He can't find another option. So
and
they all leave. All
Jacob,
of the Collins leave.
Boy, I was like, his name starts with J. Josh? Mm-hmm. Jared? Jacob. That's what Jacob. It was. Boy, I'm tired tonight. Jacob loves her too much to let her go. So that is the difference.
That's
between the
right.
Two of them.
That is probably a direct quote from the movie too.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, I think you're. I think that is. I love you too much so. To let you go or something like that.
Let's also talk about how Edward is half naked throughout not most of the movie, but he's like shirtless a bunch.
He is,
and it's not a good look for him.
Yeah,
and it could be because he's sparkly, but
uh huh. But anyway, so
he's also a little poochy. I mean, once
he's not supposed to be like super attractive. When
once you see Jacob, it's like, I mean, do I even go back to Edward? Like,
yeah, really.
Yeah, but everybody's supposed to be rooting for Edward in a lot of senses.
Yeah. So anyway, Edward leaves, and Bella becomes like super like uber depressed and like doesn't go out of her room for a couple of months.
I'm sorry, we have to go back to that though, because like Edward says, every part of me is supposed to be tantalizing because like that's how vampires work. They're supposed to like, you know.
Mm. Really? Oh,
but
I
was just like, put the shirt back on, dude. Go back into the dark. Don't do that, man. It's not why I'm watching the movie, contrary to how this might sound. Okay, you go back to
you're
what you're
a mess.
Saying. That Star Wars moment, though, man. Boy, that was certainly very disappointing for me.
Oh, my word. You're still on Raylo needing to be more makey-outy?
Continue.
Spoilers for that one. So anyway, Bella starts hallucinating Edward or something. Like, or maybe it's something more than that, that there's some sort of, that she has
connection.
Some sort of power to connect with Edward, or Edward is connecting with her when she's in danger or something. So she finds out that, oh, she can see Edward when she is in danger, and then decides to just start putting herself in peril, and eventually dives off a cliff because, you know, there's the cliff diving thing was established earlier by, you know, the boys that Jacob eventually gets involved with that end up being werewolves, and surprise, they're werewolves, even though we were pretty sure that they were going to be werewolves from like the first movie. But and you know, maybe I just knew that because I know enough about the movie. But anyway,
you also get the baseball game in this movie, which is like that is a wholesome moment.
That's probably my favorite part of the movie.
It's my favorite scene.
But anyway, so then.
But then you get two vampires really fixated on. No, that's in the previous movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that in the first movie? Right.
Which movie is that in?
That's the first movie.
Okay. Because then there's, you know, the guy that they kill in the first movie.
Yeah.
But then there's the girl in the second movie.
No, yeah, the baseball game is the first movie. That's right.
You're right.
Oh, man. Yep. Nope. Negative 50 hertz from this movie for not having the baseball game.
Yeah, but also positive 50 hertz because I'm sure there were some other wholesome moments, like the whole dirt bikes being fixed. And
yeah, yeah. Okay, so she strikes up a friendship, a begrudging friendship with Jacob, who she's being told to go hang out with, basically. And Jacob thinks that she's digging her, and I don't think Bella ever actually ends up digging him, and so he's like, he gets attached to her. And then
she digs him like a friend,
yeah,
or like a little brother because he's mm-hmm. younger than her, but then he turns into a man overnight. Surprise!
Yeah, he roids out in the middle of like a movie theater, and then next time we see him, then he stops talking with her. And so then she's even more depressed. And then we find out that Jacob gets really buff and cuts his hair. And
this is going to be like another podcast episode. This can't be after the credits.
Nah, it's after the credits, man. It's all bonus content, man. and Edward still isn't back yet. Oh, and then she throws herself off a cliff. And what's her name? The vampire that can kind of see in the future or whatever sees that. It thinks that she dies and
because the werewolves save her, so they can't really see how anything ends.
That's right.
Her visions are clouded.
Clouded. By that. And so then Edward's like, oh, Bella's dead. I can't go on living without her. Even though he's not with her. And
oh, and then you have the Volturi, which is actually deeply intriguing.
Yeah, okay. So, yes, the movie does get bonus points for Volturi because they're super interesting. So then we see this. So Edward goes to the Volturi to have them kill him because he can't kill himself for whatever reason. And
But they won't because he's spectacular.
Exactly.
They haven't seen him shirtless.
So the Volturi are like this guild of vampires that like the council of vampires, and they all have these cool different unique powers. So that's cool world building. It's very cool world building. It's in like in Rome or something.
And you get to see Dakota Fanning, right?
I forgot about that.
Deep dark soul.
Oh yes, I'm very excited to continue to see her more in future movies. Because yeah, that was real. Yeah,
so, back when Dakota Fanning was like in every movie, and every movie was also like Western. Oh, that was a dark part of my life.
See a lot of Dakota Fanning growing up, did you?
No, stay far away from Dakota Fanning and anything country. So
I see. Yeah, yeah.
There wasn't much available.
So then Edward decides that he's going to show himself to the world in broad daylight.
And shirtless.
Shirtless. So that he sparkles and that people are like, why is that guy over there covered in glitter?
Because the Volturi tried to hide the fact that vampires exist. Right, et cetera.
So then that would be cause for death. Bella saves him. And then Edward's like, oh, you're alive. Yay, thank you. And then the Volturi's like, well, this girl knows about vampires. She can't leave. She can't leave alive, or she must be turned into a vampire, because there's something about her. There's something about her that negates vampire powers, which is really also really interesting, which I hope they build on in future movies. And then they go back home. Bella makes the Collins promise to turn her into a vampire, even though two of them vote no, including Edward. Edward doesn't want her to be a vampire yet because reasons. And then Jacob gets involved again. And then like Jacob and Edward are like fighting for Bella or arguing something. Edward finally agrees to marry. Edward finally agrees to turn Bella into a vampire if she marries him. And I think that's where the movie stops.
Well, right? And then Jacob says like,
oh,
you yes, know, we stay within our area and we don't kill you guys because mm-hmm. of the agreement, but the agreement hinges on that you don't turn anyone into a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like, duh, duh, duh.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool credits.
There's no possible way that they could get out of that one. Have another vampire that's not the Collins turn her into a vampire. But I don't know. There's a lot that is that they're clearly trying to set up in this movie. The process ends up being hokey, and it's whatever. It's fine. It's not a great movie, but it's fine. I accept it. I'm looking forward to the next movies where I hope all hell breaks loose.
Do you think Bella will ever become a vampire?
Yes.
Why?
Because I know the ending of the series.
What do you mean you know the ending?
She does become a vampire.
Just because Alice saw her becoming a vampire?
No, I was pretty sure that was the thing that happened towards the end. Like she was giving birth to the half human, half vampire baby, and then she lost a lot of blood or something, had to become a vampire or had to be transferred. Maybe, you know what?
What are you basing this off of?
Things that I've heard about the movie.
Are you looking up spoilers?
No, I'm not. Spoilers happen when the movies came out. Like, Bella does become a vampire, right?
I'm not telling you anything.
You're not telling me, okay. I'm pretty sure she becomes a vampire. Because something about...
Nobody tell Derek anything.
Wait, how does she get pregnant? Did they have premarital sex?
You need to keep watching.
Is it like a half vampire, half human monster child? And then... This will be anyway. So Eclipse is the next movie, and we'll be watching that next, and talk about it on the next episode.
Boy, oh boy!
Did you have any like wrap up thoughts of like, yes, Derek? I think I see where you're coming from, but
no, it's really hard for me to not watch these movies through the landscape of being a parent now and being like, what if my teenage daughter was watching this? The books are way better than the movie, I promise you. It's just that they try to fit way more into a movie than they should. Mm-hmm. They always do that. But also, there's been enough distance from this movie that you mostly remember the horrible parts of it.
No, well, but I don't remember coming away from the movie with a like...
Was this movie much better shot than the other ones?
Huh?
Wasn't this movie much better shot than the other ones?
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I think the cinematography was definitely better. Like, it was prettier. It was more fun to see.
And the conversations felt more realistic.
That's probably true, too. But at the same time, a lot of those conversations felt super convoluted and unrealistic because of... how quickly they're the dialogue was generally better, but the story points were not well executed or convincing.
Also wholesome, the other guy that they took to the horror movie who had to run out partway through and throw up. I also like that. What?
Okay.
Why are you looking at me like that?
You enjoy that people went out and threw up because of the of a horror movie.
The last 5 years of my life have been an entire lifetime or two of vomiting. So
that's true.
I would say that it's only fair.
It's relatable.
That the nausea is delved out among the masses.
All right, a little bit of catharsis there for you. I get it.
This has been Movie Reviews with Derek and Tanya.
Whee!
Tune in next week to hear Tanya say, "Edward, put your shirt back on."
We're going to get more shirtless Edward, aren't we? We're definitely going to get more shirtless Jacob, because that's just how he exists now as a vampire. But
as a vampire?
Not as a vampire, as a werewolf. My goodness.
New mics make a nice tappy sound.
They do make a nice tappy sound.
We need to cut this off.
All right. Bye.